praising God for how many years? 300. 300 years he walked with God. 300 years. You ever try to walk with God for 3 days? 300 years. Did he see God? Nope. It was all by faith. Now we're going to go to the next story of the man, the second man that the Bible says walked with God. And we go to Genesis chapter number 6. We will have some sword drills a little bit later. Well, we'll have one pretty soon here, but get your Bibles ready for that. If you don't know what it is, it's a lot of fun. And in Genesis chapter 6, our subject tonight is Noah. Noah. And we're going to read some things here about Noah to begin with. But our subject, as you'll see on your notes at the top, is Noah walks with God in the worst of times. You didn't get notes. You need notes. Kelly got notes. All right, let's see. Brandon and Calvin, try to get these out. I don't know if there's enough for everybody. There's more in the counter? Oh, they got stuck in the cutter? Well, we're in disarray here tonight. Sorry about that. All right, I'm going to start anyway while you're getting these. Tonight's subject is Noah walks with God in the worst of times. Noah walks with God in the worst of times. So our question tonight is already answered. Can a man walk with God in the worst of times? Yeah, Noah did. Noah did. And let's see here. Let me get in the right book. Genesis chapter number 6. Now, here's the thing about Noah. Anybody got a wild guess how long he lived? Yeah, it says 950 years. So he walked with God how much longer than Enoch? About three times longer, right? So another question, can a man walk with God for 900 years, 950 years? These are little statements in the Bible that, I don't know, sometimes I just read through, oh, that's nice, you walk with God. 900 years. 950 years in the worst of times. These times we're going to learn about are so bad that Jesus repeats them in the New Testament as being the signs of the times right before the rapture. That's how bad it was in Noah's day. And Noah walked with God. Verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time the word grace is mentioned in the Bible. And when is it mentioned? During the worst of times. During the worst of times. So let's have a sword drill right now. That means you grab your Bible by the binding, hold it up in the air. I'm going to tell you a verse. You're going to repeat it, and then we're going to see who can read it or find it the fastest. Stand up and read it. Again, don't stand up and start staring at me. Stand up and start reading it. Ready? Romans 5:20. Go. Romans 5:20. All right, now listen to the second half of that verse that Peter just quoted. It says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And is there ever a better example than Noah's day? It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did he walk with God during the worst of times? Answer, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So God, the first time it's mentioned was when the world was at its worst. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So question, can we in these last days find grace from God and walk with God no matter how bad this world's getting? Yeah, we really don't have an excuse. Grace is available, and that is grace is God's favor, God's power, God's enablement. There's three kinds. There's saving grace. If you're not saved here tonight, you can be saved by the grace of God. And then after saving grace, there's living grace. And then there's this thing in Hebrews 2 and verse 9 called dying grace, which none of us have experienced yet, but it will be there for us when we need it. It talks about how Jesus died by the grace of God on Calvary's cross. That was a horrible death. And God's grace was with him. When he died. So, grace. This is the first mention of grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's go back to the top. A little bit of trivia here. Noah is spelled Noe on five occasions in the New Testament. And Noah 52 other times in the Old and New Testament. He was named Noah because the word Noah means comfort or rest. He was so named by his father Lamech, who prophesied that his son would bring comfort to the world because of the curse of sin. But never was a father so wrong as Lamech. Noah did not bring comfort, but condemnation. Look back at chapter 5 and verse 29. It says this, and he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. I mean, I think this father really meant well, but boy, was he off the mark. Noah did not comfort the world, he condemned the world. Let's have our next sword drill. Peter, you're out. Draw swords. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Go. Hebrews 11, 7. When you all find it, keep your place there, too. I think Kyle beat you. No. Kyle got you. Go ahead, Kyle. What does it say? By which he condemned the world. He didn't comfort the world. He condemned the world. And I'm sure Lamech meant well, but I'm going to read that just for the sake of people who are watching or for the recording. It says here in verse number 7, Hebrews 11, 7, Kyle got it. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now that's faith right there. This is the great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11. By faith, now notice, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What are some things our generation has been warned of God that we haven't seen yet? Maybe our generation, Sean. Okay, Jesus is coming back. We're warned of God about that. Are we moving with fear? We ought to move with some fear. It says he moved with fear, and he did what? He prepared an ark, which is like a big boat, to the saving of his house. Now, there's something all of us ought to be concerned about. I mean, at least save your house. At least make sure your kids are saved, or if you got grandkids or extended family, just try and reach them. Move with fear. Kind of fits into our vision a little bit this year. We ought to move a little bit more with fear this year. Because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The second coming. All right? The first coming was at Bethlehem, Christmas. But he said, I'm coming again. And we are warned of things not yet seen. So Noah is a great example for us. Let's go back to Genesis 6 now. Now, what were the days of Noah like? The sanctity of marriage had diminished. I cannot explain what we read in verses 1 through 4. There's all kinds of opinions on who the sons of God are and everything. I really think that's what Timothy called later in the Bible an unlearned question. It's a question that probably nobody's going to have an exact answer for yet. Some say, think these are men, the sons of men. Some think they're angels and everything. But whatever it was, it had diminished the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of relationships between men and women. And it was kind of like a free-for-all in Noah's day. Let's just put it that way. Does that sound familiar? When it comes to the flesh, when it comes to the world that we're living in, male, female, whatever, it's just like a free-for-all. And it has diminished the sanctity of marriage. I have Kelly read our longer passages. Matthew 24, he's going to read under point number 1, verses 36 through 41.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left.
All right, so what we're studying tonight becomes a sign to us that right before Christ comes and right before the rapture, it would be like the days of Noah. And the thing Jesus stressed about the days of Noah was this. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Like we said under point number 1, the sanctity of marriage was diminished. Now, let's see. Luke says about the same thing here, but let's try this as a sword drill, all right? Draw swords. And I'm going to give you three verses, but I'll just give you the first one to start with. Luke 17:26. Go, Luke 17:26. The men are winning.
And as it is written in the days of Noah, they so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man.
Now read the next verse, verse 27. Now, verse 30.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Okay, so Jesus is coming again, and he said, even so shall it be in the day when I'm revealed. There will be a diminished sanctity of the holy institution of marriage and relationships, and a lot of it will just be physical stuff. Physical stuff, not the commitment God wants. And so God was not very happy with this, going back to Genesis 6 after this. And in verses 1 through 4, we see about marriage and all these relationships going on. Now, what else? Number 2 on our notes, we're describing what the days of Noah were like. Wickedness was great in the earth. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It was great in the earth, wickedness. And notice the first three words, and God saw. And God saw. We like to think he doesn't see us. But God said, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching us. Number three, every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. And that's almost a direct quote from verse 5 in the Bible. So God not only saw their behavior, marriage and their behavior, the wickedness was great in the earth, but he saw what people were imagining. Imagining. Do you ever wonder where are these movies and TV shows and music? Where does it originate from? The imaginations of men's hearts. It's getting pretty crazy. They keep pushing the envelope every year. It seems to get worse and worse and worse. I don't know about you, but I just don't think we're going to, I just don't think man's going to say, you know, that's enough. We've gotten filthy enough. We've gotten bad enough. No more. No more. We're going to stop. I just think they're going to keep pushing it at us. All that stuff comes out of the heart of man. And they've got the means nowadays to put it on a movie screen and whatever else, a website or something. Every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Ever had any problem with your thoughts? Or is it just me? You ever have any problem? You ever start thinking about something? You think, where did that come from? What's the matter with me? God sees that. Number four, the earth was corrupt. And it says that if we skip down to verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Oh, verse 11, too. I skipped that. You can put that on your notes. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Number two, for all flesh had corrupted their way before the Lord. So he uses that word three times. In verses 11 and 12, and the word corrupt means decayed, rotted, ruined, or perverted morally. Now in verses 11 and 13, number 5, it says the earth was filled with violence. The earth was filled with violence, verse 11 says the earth was also corrupt before God. There's those words again, before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. What is the origin of violence? Anybody remember from your Bible study? What's the origin of violence? Sean? Well, that's the second example, but before that, it's a tough question. Ezekiel 28 tells us Lucifer, that his heart was lifted up with pride, and the midst of him became defiled with violence. And Jesus described him and said he was a murderer from the beginning. That's where Cain came in. He got into Cain. First son, killed Abel, the second son. So if you ever wonder, where's all this violence come from? It originates in a fallen angel named Lucifer, who later was called Satan or the devil. Do you think the earth is kind of violent right now these days? There's a lot of, it says violence filled the earth in Noah's day. Now when was this? 4,400 years ago. But Jesus said it's going to repeat itself just before I come. Just before I come. And those that are ready will be taken, the others will be left. Two ladies will be working, one will be taken, the other will be left. Why? One was saved, one was not saved. And all these signs are coming to pass today. The earth is filled with violence. And here's a couple other things. God wished he had not made man. He actually said that with his own words in verse 6, going backwards here a little bit. And it repented the Lord. That means to have a change of mind, the word repented. That he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's point number 7. God was grieved at his heart, and he shortened the lifespan of man and ordered a worldwide flood to destroy man. But he would give them about 100 years of space to repent, 120. And then he would take the lifespan of man by the chart here. These people lived to be 900 and so on. But after the flood, this line here is the flood. You probably can't see it where you're sitting. But after the flood, 448, 500, 403. Then it goes down 207, 200, 119, 75, 120, 56, 110. And then the final count was what? What about today? What does the Bible say? 3,000 years ago, David said, or Moses said, 70 years, or maybe 80. That's what we get. Over 3,000 years ago, God reduced it. Because look how much sinning one person can do in 70 years. Can you imagine if we had 900? And we thought, man, I got about 800 more years to go. Wow. So he reduced it to 70 to 80 years. And he said that through Moses. And the amazing thing is that if you Google lifespan for the world today, the last I checked, it was 72.2 for the whole world. Why? God said so. That's why. God's word is accurate. That's about all we get is about 70 years. And it says sometimes by strength people make it to 80. He has greatly shortened it. He made Adam and Eve to live forever. They were never supposed to die. But it's sin that killed them. But now we're down to 70 to 80 years. Fred, you're dying to say something here. Yeah, God's character doesn't change. He'll always be holy. He'll always be just. He'll always be righteous. But he changes his mind every time one of us gets saved. His mind can be changed by our prayers. He didn't say he'd never change his mind, but he'll never change in character. He'll always be holy. He'll always be righteous. He'll always be just. He'll always be love. His character will never change. I am the Lord, I change not. But his mind, yeah, you can change his mind tonight by being saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Bible says the wrath of Jesus had, or I think it was John the Baptist said, the wrath of God abideth on us if we're not saved. But boy, you get saved, it says being reconciled, we have peace with God. So you go from wrath to peace that fast. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So, yeah, his mind could be changed by your prayers tonight. By your behavior. You may be heading for some judgment here. But it says if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so God's mind can change. But that is a good question that comes up often. All right. But what about Noah? Let's get now to Noah. We talked about how bad the world was in his day. Number one, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was something very special about this man. He found grace. Grace is divine favor. Grace is a very broad word defined. It's kind of like love. It can mean God's power, God's enablement. For instance, we're saved by grace. You can't save yourself. But God's grace can save you. So don't try saving yourself. Trust in Christ as your Savior, and He'll save you. Number two, Noah was just. Now, this is in verse 9, and it says there, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Number two, he was a just man. That means he was lawful and righteous in the midst of an unlawful generation. And an unrighteous generation. And he was vindicated by God. And verse 9 says about him, he was just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So where am I here? All right, next page. or other people. He was perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean he was sinless. It means he was spiritually mature. He was complete before God in his generations. And he lived through many generations, whereas you and I don't, because of our lifespan. But no matter what generation he was living in, he was described in verse 9 as being perfect in his generations. How should we be in the generation we're living in? Well, let's have a couple sword drills here. And this one, draw swords, is Mark 8:38. Go. Mark 8:38. Come on, ladies. All right, Jesus talked about a generation. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words, that's don't be ashamed of Jesus, don't be ashamed of the Bible, in this adulterous and sinful generation. Would you say we live in an adulterous and sinful generation? So don't, we ought to be like Noah. He was perfect in all his generations, okay? Draw swords, Philippians 2:15. Go, Philippians 2:15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights unto men.
All right. Would you say this is a crooked and perverse generation we're living in? It says we should shine as lights. So it's possible, our whole lesson tonight is this, no matter how bad the world gets, it's possible to walk with God by the grace of God and not have to. We have Noah as an example, and he had to do it for a long time. If I was back then, I'd be saying, man, I am getting tired of this. Man, this is grieving me. And it gets worse in the story. Number four, Noah walked with God. That's the theme tonight. That's in verse, can't be right, is it 19? Verse 9, yeah, you'll have to correct that on your sheet. It says verse 9. Yeah, Noah walked with God. All right, verse 9, Noah walked with God, so. I mean, here he was. Now, again, like Enoch, we know this was by faith. It wasn't like God showed up physically and said, hey, Noah, let's go take a walk for 900 years, or 950 years. This was something by faith. We have to walk with God by faith. We can walk with God by faith for 900 years, for 300 years, but we only get 70 or whatever. So we can. Noah walked with God. Then number five, we'll go quickly through this here. Noah made an ark in obedience to God. God said, make an ark. They never heard of one back then. They never had a boat. God said, I'm going to flood the earth, and every living creature, cattle, beast, man, woman, humans, that doesn't get on the boat is going to be flooded. Number six, Noah's faith moved him to works to save his family. We read that verse earlier. He moved with fear to save his family. And then we have an insight in the New Testament that's not in the Old Testament. Number seven, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Let's draw swords. This is the last one. This one's worth 4 points. 2 Peter 2:5. Go. 2 Peter 2:5. You ladies usually win. Now, according to that verse, if you heard Kelly, what was Noah? According to that verse, a preacher of righteousness. Boy, he did great, didn't he? He must have had a big church. You see, numbers don't always tell the story. You know, I if you didn't hear Kelly, he had on the mic, 2 Peter 2:5, it tells us something in the New Testament we don't know in the Old Testament. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Bring in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, let me ask you some questions. Maybe some of you know this. How old was Noah when God told him to build an ark? Anybody remember? You're thinking right. 500. How old was he when the flood came? 600. So God gave the earth a long time. It's what we call space to repent. Do you ever ask yourself, how much longer is God going to put up with this? He gives us space to repent. Aren't you glad about that? I am. I'm glad he didn't strike me dead first time I cursed him. And I'd have been gone a long time ago. He gave me space to repent. He gives man space to repent. During this time, he's building an ark. And you can go see a replica of it down in Kentucky with the size and the dimensions and everything. It was huge. It was 1.5 times the size of a length of a football field. Same width as a football field. And three stories high? Four? I forgot. It was huge. And he had to get two of each of the animals on. He took little baby ones on. He didn't take big ones. Because they would live longer. They'd be healthier. They'd be more resilient. And how long was he on the ark? This is a real tough question here. How long was he on the ark? Huh? Yeah, 370 days, which is 10 years longer than a Hebrew year. So he got off the ark when he was 601. He lived to be 950. So he lived about 349 years after the flood. Okay? And there's amazing proofs of a worldwide flood. There are 270 legends from back then of a worldwide flood. The Bible is one of them. The Bible story. The Chinese have one. In fact, the Chinese emblem for salvation, you know, they write kind of with emblems, is a little boat with 8 dots in it. That's the Chinese emblem for salvation in their language. And so 87% of the earth's surface is sedimentary rock. Sedimentary rock can only be made one way, mixing mud with water. 87% of all the earth's surface. 71% of the earth's surface is all water. 29% is earth. And of that, 87% is sedimentary rock. All the highest mountains in the world and all over the world, you'll find fossils, closed clams, seashells, on the top of Mount Everest. There are seashells, closed clams, and fossils. The only way to make a fossil is to bury it suddenly. Otherwise, it just decomposes. We have fossils all over the world. Everywhere you go, you can find fossils. It means a whole bunch of things all over the world were buried suddenly. And this earth is filled with scars of God's wrath. The Grand Canyon. It's a beautiful scar, but it's... You go out to where the rocks, Utah's, and you'll see rocks coming up at an angle like this. Ever see that? It's kind of like, why would it do that? God was mad. I mean, this world went through it for a year. And all the plants and all the animals and everything that got buried, you're putting it in your gas tank every time you go to the oil to the gas station. It's called gas, petroleum. It's all dead, decayed things that have turned into oil. There's so much evidence that there was a worldwide flood. And then Jesus comes along and says, study those days, and what you study will be exactly how the earth will be right before I come back the second time. So be ready. Be sure you're saved. And yet, as bad as the earth was that we described tonight, there was one man who walked with God, which means that even in the last days, we can walk with God. You can at least try to save your family, at least, but maybe save some others. I don't know, you know, if we're going to have the numbers we used to have in the old days and everything as time goes on. I don't know about that. But I got a note here about Noah. He found grace. At least he got 8 people on the boat. You know, anyone was welcome, but it says God was inside of the boat and God shut the door from the inside. King James Bible. Every other Bible says he shut it from the outside. But he was in there with him. He was in there with him. Amen. And that's what God does. Before he destroys the earth in a flood, he saves his people out of it. Before he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah by fire, he saves his people out of it. And before he comes this time, he's going to take his people out of it. Are you saved tonight? Are you sure? If not, trust Christ as your Savior. Quit fooling around. I don't know how long we've got. It might be a long time. I have no idea. But these are like the days of Noah. I don't think anyone can deny that. But Noah found grace, and Noah walked with God. We're talking about walking with God this year. Last week we saw you can walk with God no matter what your family's like. Tonight, you can walk with God no matter what the world's like. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We praise you for giving us a book to study. And thank you, Lord, that Noah invited anybody that wanted to come in the ark, but they didn't. They didn't heed the message. They thought they had more time. But when the door was shut, it was shut. And you're a God who has said, you can open, and no one can shut, but you can also shut, and no man can open. So I pray for everyone here to be saved. I can't save them, Lord, but you can, and if they'll call upon you, you'll come into their heart and be their Savior if they'll believe with all their heart that Jesus died for them on that cross for their sins and shed his blood to wash them away and was buried in a tomb, but 3 days and 3 nights later he rose from the grave. Thank you that you're alive and we have hope if we'll trust in thee. Lord, we pray you'd put the fear of God in us in the right way, and that we would move with fear, try to save some people. But thank you for Noah. What a man he was. Bless our studies as we continue. Should the Lord tarry, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We appreciate you coming. John's got prayer lists. We want to pray for these people.